Hey, everybody, it's a Psalm Session, and you are joined here today by Miles and still on the phone.
Still Brent, hanging in with you.
Yes, and we are still doing the phone thing. We are actually, as of today, we're moving into phase one of reopening Ontario, according to Premier Doug Ford. But yeah, how you been?
I think the great news is I've been good. You know, we've been staying connected from afar, and the good news that quickly follows the opening of the province of Ontario also opens up some opportunities for all of us at The Sound of Music.
Absolutely, because not only is this phase one of reopening, it is phase one of what we are calling Psalm at Home.
Yeah, Psalm at Home.
Psalm at Home. So the Sound of Music Festival, we announced this week, Psalm at Home. We're taking some of the best bits of the festival, and we are streaming them live to your living room, bedroom, hallway, den, wherever you want. I'm not going to say bathroom, because I don't want to believe that that's where you're watching, but, you know, to each their own. We don't judge.
Hey, listen, wherever you want to tune in is good with us.
And,
you
know, it is good.
I think Psalm at Home is really the next best thing to being able to physically gather in the park again this year. You know, those days are long and tiring for those of us that present the festival, and, you know, you rue the day, but I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss not being in the park with all those people and enjoying the live music in that format. But I think we've come up with something that really is the next best thing. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. And I miss it too. I think one of my favorite things to do last year was every morning I would grab my camera and head out into the park from the hotel and kind of give some video updates on here's where we're at and here's what's being built. And just watching the park transform was really cool. And then just watching all the people flood into it. And so, yeah, it is sad that we won't get to do that. But, you know, Psalm at Home has presented some new opportunities. And what we wanted to do during this time was really give an opportunity to support the music industry, and not just through the hiring of artists and pieces like that. But, you know, it's a multi-tiered kind of program, Psalm at Home. And today we want to talk a little bit about the Artist Summit, which I think is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about this too. You know, we've all been to conferences on, you know, subject matter XYZ, and you kind of get used to going through the motions of a program like this. But I think this again is going to present it in a very unique way. We've got some great panelists and some great panel sessions coming together, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to, as you say, you know, enjoy and celebrate, but also support the industry that supports so many other people.
So look, a couple of the sessions that we'll be offering now, these are going to be taking place kind of early to mid-June. So the Artist Summit will be June 10th to the 13th. And you'll be able to get information in a live moderated Q&A style panel on booking tours, how to get out there on the road. Artist funding, how do you actually fund your career, especially now? Like what funding is available to you? Federal, provincial, municipal, all those levels will be talked about. We've got a marketing panel. We're going to teach you how to. I shouldn't say we. I have nothing to do with that. But, you know, they're going to go over all kinds of like ways that you can connect with your audience and how to market yourself in the digital age. Songwriting. We're going to talk about getting inspired to create. How do you do it? How do others do it? Working through some of those. Finding a career in the biz. Now, I heard through the grapevine that there's also going to be a panel featuring our own Brent Kinnaird. Is this true?
Wow. That's, I think we're calling that the celebrity interview. And let me just be clear. I'm not the celebrity.
Oh.
I am the interviewer of the celebrity.
I see. Yes, we've got the always lovely Alan Cross lined up to be one of our celebrity interviews.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's who listened to the ongoing history of new music, a really cool podcast, some really awesome little tidbits of music history that you can learn there. I often listen in as I'm, you know, riding my bike or doing some other things, and it'll be kind of fun to turn the tables a little and interview the guy who often does the interviewing himself.
Absolutely. So go head on over to the website, soundofmusic.ca. Check out everything that Psalm at Home has to offer. Like I said, the summit will take place digitally June 10th to the 13th. Registration will open soon, if not already. Free to register, of course, because it is the Sound of Music Festival, and we pride ourselves on the free programming that we bring to you. So head over, register, learn something, and have fun. And speaking of having fun, we've got a couple guys on the phone who know how to have fun. That was a really bad segue, but I'm excited.
No,
to chat
it was actually a great segue. It was a great one because I think you nailed it. You know, these two guys, two members of four of the band. Go ahead.
Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion.
Yeah, there you go. So I don't think there's ever been a day in these guys' lives where they haven't actually had a little bit of fun. It just seems like they just ooze positivity. They ooze hard work. They're passionate about what they do, and they've got some interesting stories to tell, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So joining us on the phone now, we have Mitch Merritt and Greg Carroll of Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion. How you doing, boys?
Good. Thanks, Miles.
Fancy.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us. It's good to hear you from you guys. Good to see you guys. I've been following you online. You've got a lot going on despite the world shutting down. Seems like you guys are keeping busy. Are you managing to see each other much or chat much or do anything?
If you call a Zoom conference getting together, yeah, I guess you could say that.
You're making the best of what you can, though, eh? We appreciate that. You guys have both been doing quite a bit of live streaming and things like that, staying engaged, at least on your own. I know, Greg, you're pretty active on Facebook these days. It seems like every other minute you've got something live going on.
All right. And I'm the guy who least you normally does that. You must have caught me on a good day, Miles.
I must have. So I want to jump right into things here, thinking about, as you said, a good day. January 17th, 2020, Stillhouse Blues launches. That's got to be a good day. I've listened to it. I think I've actually accounted for at least 25% of the 250,000 listens that tune has had. I'm about 25% of them. Tell us a bit about the new single.
That's a tune that was written a couple years ago, I guess, kind of in the infancy of the whole Black Mountain thing. And we just kind of delayed getting that out there, and it's kind of new music for forthcoming kind of thing, a bridge between albums kind of thing.
Nice.
It's a fun one. It's a great one to play live. It's kind of got all the stuff that I personally really enjoy playing in the song. You know, it's grimy, it's gritty, it's got some great slide on it, and the band sounds freaking great on it.
Nice. And they really do. I've got three of my usual rotations are Holy Smoke, Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion, and Stillhouse Blues. I play quite loudly on my motorcycle riding around town promoting Black Mountain every way that I can. Now, Mitch,
whether people want it or not,
that's the joys of listening to music on a motorcycle. They don't get a choice. They just have to listen. Now, Mitch, Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion. Now, was this your brainchild, or was this kind of a cumulative thing of all of you guys? Or where did it start?
In the early days, it was. Yeah. Now it's morphed into a full band, the four of us. But it was a project that I kind of collected over some years of writing some tunes with some buddies, you know, like Eric and a bunch of other cats that I've written songs with. And then I wanted to get Greg and Corbett involved in recording the album. And I think after it was done, we kind of all looked at each other and went, well, maybe we should be a band. Cause initially I just kind of put it together just because I wanted to do it with my buds. I just wanted to do something where I just had these songs floating around and ideas floating around, and I wanted to collaborate with my buddies that I've toured with for years with in other bands or backing up other artists and stuff. So we're stoked to get into the studio and do more of a band collaborative album. We just gotta wait for this world pandemic to to ease so we can go and do that. We were supposed to go into the studio late March, early April. We had everything booked, and then the borders closed down. So it's kind of bummed us out a little bit, and we were excited to kind of hold up in a cabin and write and record and just, you know, again, I've said it a million times and the guys have said, it's like being in your first band in the garage, you know, sitting around and spending hours working on tunes and everybody contributing. And we're really excited about that. And, but we'll just do it again, just a little bit down the road here.
You guys really, project that group family band feel. And we talked about this a little bit, offline before. You know, you guys really sort of consider each other to be family members, longtime friends. It kind of goes beyond just playing together in a band. So how do you come together and still keep the music going and collaborate in this time where you're separated physically?
Well, right. I'll jump in here, Mitch. I think that, like, we're all, the thing about this here band is, besides, you know, we are a family, we're very close. And we're also of ilk-mindedness as well. Like all four of us are singers, like, you know, in this band. We all sing, we all write. So everyone right now is putting on their thinking caps and trying to come up with some good Black Mountain material for the next record. So we all want to be locked and loaded. Like you know, we're all going to be studious little musicians and lock ourselves down and write and see, you know. Like, I'm writing a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, I think that sounds like a Black Mountain thing, and I'll send it to Mitch. You know, Mitch, what do you think of this, right? And Mitch will go, okay, buddy, yeah, let me see what I can do something with that. So that's what we're kind of doing now, just to get ready for when we do get in that cabin, when we do get to, you know, all be in the same room and breathe the same air. You know, we'll be locked and loaded and ready to go. So that's kind of what our plan is kind of deal. I just can't see us, like, we're all – you know, just there's so much music in this band. I can't see us just sitting around watching, you know, TV and not writing, you know, kind of deal, right? Or just watching just the news constantly or Facebook or whatever. Like, you know, everyone in this band is hungry for the next record and to put out a really good Black Mountain record.
That's nice. So are you guys doing a lot of that? Like, will you just kind of fiddle around with your bass and go, oh, that sounded really cool, and, you know, send some clips over to the guys? And are you guys kind of working organically like that right now as you can?
Yeah, as much as we can. I mean, I think all of us are always, you know, my phone is, and I really love this. I love coming up with riffs and ideas for songs and putting them in my phone and then not listening to them and coming back to them like a couple of weeks later and then going through all these ideas and was like, oh, that's cool, I'll mark that. And it's interesting because it's a fine line. Like, you don't want to like totally go and write a whole song. I think all of us want to write some ideas and then go, okay, this is kind of cool, I think the guys are going to dig this, and then we bring it in because you know, you don't really want to come to the table with a bunch of like, this is the idea and this is what we're going to roll with. It's, you got to be kind of open to stuff, and that's the beauty. Like, I feel like I come up with some pretty cool, you know, riffs and stuff, and Greg comes up with cool bass parts, and then it's like, okay, that's cool. The rest of the guys will help me shape the rest of this, because I don't want to, like, you know, just finish it, because it would be better with the band to finish with. And I think we've all got that mentality, and we've all been doing this for years. You know, we're not new to this thing. We're new as a band, but, you know, I've known Corbett for, God, 15 years. We've toured across Canada, and Greg for the last 10, and I've written with Eric for the last 6 or 7 years, you know, for other artists and stuff. So, yeah, it's cool. I mean, the idea of going in fresh to a studio is kind of what rock bands did back in the day. Obviously budgets were way huger to do that and it's expensive to sit in a studio and start writing there, but there's also something magical about it. And even on the first record, you know, the tunes were kind of done, but this, everyone still put their stamp on it, you know. You know, musically, it's like, if you got your lyric and your melody basically down, you know, the music can kind of morph around that. And that's the exciting part, you know, coming up with stuff that you think is cool. And then you go in the studio and go, holy shit. You know, like Wolves of the Door was a song that I thought was pretty decent, but it wasn't like top of my list to bring in. And I think I went, hey guys, I don't know if this is cool or not, but I'm gonna play it for you and let's see if we can put our hats together and come up with something. And it's one of my favorite songs on the record. So it's that kind of dynamic that we really enjoy about this process.
Nice. So when you say, you know, you're excited to get into the cabin, is this like a physical cabin? Like are the four of you going to just lock yourselves in the woods with some loud music and see what comes out?
Basically, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's like the coolest cabin that's ever been. I hope it's not like a campground cabin where everybody around you is just going to, you know, keep it down at all times. No,
well, we'll see. But it's like a studio cabin. It's on a beautiful lake. And it's going to be cool. I mean, again, it's how they did records in the 70s, man. You know,
yeah.
Deep Purple, what did they, one of the albums, they went into an old hotel. You know, and that's, I think they got into town and that's when the Smoke on the Water, they went to that Frank Zappa gig. And then they wrote that song in like a fucking hotel or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like they had to climb around drum setups and like that's what we want. We want it fucking dirty and unorthodox, and we want our sounds to, you know, just to be raw.
Yeah,
that's what the band is. I mean, look at us.
Well, and you know what? I think that's a great point. And so when we had you at the Sound of Music Festival in 2019, I think that's exactly what came out. It was raw. You saw a group of guys on stage that were loving what they do. They were having fun. Like that's one thing, right? Is performing. You can tell when a band is not having fun, when they're not into it. And for you guys, the energy that was brought was amazing. Like the crowd loved it. We loved it. Everyone loved it. So that's my question for you is, you know, when you get out there on stage and like all musicians, you know, you're playing the same songs, you're out there doing the same thing. Like, how do you guys keep it so that energy is still coming through and that, you know, that power and that rawness is there on stage? Like, how are you keeping that fresh and alive?
Well, a few drinks help.
There you go.
That never goes astray.
Nope.
You know, the thing of it is like Mitch mentioned earlier, like we've all been doing this a long time kind of deal. And it doesn't get old. You know, and we've all been on stage before where it has been exciting, where I've been on stage before where I didn't quite have the love that I have now kind of deal for the guys that I'm on stage with. That happens. For myself, it's easy to get excited for a Black Mountain show. And like the happiest moment for me of a Black Mountain show is when we're getting introduced, and the saddest moment is when we're saying goodbye to the people. You know, and of course, like we'll hang out and stuff like that. But we do, like, you know, when we go up on a stage, you know, we want to give it our all. We want the people to, you know, feel that it got their money's worth. We want to leave blood on the stage, right? You know, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah,
you know, like that's you know, and that's just, and that's not us trying, right? Like we can't help it. That's just music in us that just got to get out, right?
Nice.
And it's still new for us too. It's not like we've done, you know, 500 shows playing those songs, you know.
No.
You know, it's a bummer that the summer we probably won't play. So it's, even when we get back out, whenever that is, this music is still really new to us. You know, the music's been around for a while, but you know, the band playing this stuff, there's still a lot of energy in that. And you know, like Greg was saying, when you kind of back up other artists, you kind of get used to the set list and it's still great and all that, but man, you put one new song in a set that you've been playing for years. It's so much fun. But when you got a whole set of that, like a whole album to play that people recognize. Like when you play these songs, you know, people are singing them back, and it still kind of blows our mind a little bit, because this thing is it's barely got out of the gates in a way. You know, it's been around on the streaming platforms for a bit, but you know, on the live side of things, it's still very fresh. So man, this band is still has a lot to prove and to ourselves, and we're ready. Open up the borders. Let's go.
Absolutely. Exactly. And hey, we're ready to have you back at Sound of Music for sure. Anytime. But Mitch, I've got a question for you. So you are a very well-known producer on top of being an artist yourself. Now, with you mentioned streaming platforms a moment ago, and now a lot of our listeners, you know, we have a lot of emerging artists, young folks that are just breaking into the industry. Now, with this, you know, the streaming age, as a producer, like, how are you seeing things differ from how it used to be, where, you know, people were going out and cutting their albums? And you know, nowadays, like, I can go over to the corner there, record a song, and have it up on Spotify in 10 minutes. Like, how are you finding, from being a producer and having several successful artists and bands and a career, like, what's this streaming age? Like, how are things different for you?
Well, it's kind of a loaded question, but it's different, but it's the same at the same time. It's like the streaming... The streaming platforms are interesting because, you know, when, you know, involved in other people's careers and kind of helping run a record company, you know, you want to get your radio, you want to get stations playing it, but now you also want to get on certain playlists. And so you're kind of, you know, you're still communicating with those platforms like you would with radio. So yeah, it's different, but it's also kind of the same kind of game. You know, you service the music to the radio. Now you service it to the streaming platforms. Sometimes there's a bit of philosophy. And do you go digitally first or do you go to radio first? But I mean, the beauty of the streaming platforms is that people are discovering new music all the time, but they're not necessarily discovering on a rock station or discovering on a country station or a pop station. It's like good music will find a home. It will find a listener. And I think that's what I like about that. It's like when MySpace came out years and years ago, it was fun to wormhole through MySpace, finding all these cool new bands. And I kind of enjoy that with the streaming stuff. And this stuff is all still really, really new. And everybody's trying to figure out how this all works business wise and works band wise and artist wise. And yeah, you literally can sit in your basement and create music and upload it to something like that. And it does get listened to. Those, you know, the streaming people they want to break new bands. And, you know, that's the business model. So it's fantastic for a band like us where there is a conscious decision not to go to radio because we just wanted to make fucking cool music. And that was the only agenda other than playing it with your buds.
I love that. And so in the band, you know, Mitch Merritt, Corbett Fraz, is that how you say his last name?
Yep.
Am I getting that right? Hey, yeah. Corbett Fraz, Eric Dillon, Greg Carroll. Now, like all four of you in your own right have had some pretty phenomenal accomplishments. Like, how did you guys find each other? How did this happen? Like, and because I say that as well, because you're also, Greg, you're out in Alberta. Mitch, you're in BC. Aren't the other guys in Nashville or somewhere that away?
Yeah. Eric's in Nashville and Corbett is in Calgary.
Yeah. So how did you guys come together?
Greg?
Well, I like to say it was a strip club in London, Ontario, but...
In London, that's standards, man. That's standards.
it's funny. It's like Corbett and Mitch were playing, doing some stuff with an artist. I was doing stuff with Amos Garrett. I was Amos Garrett's bass player for about 16 years, a long time. And I've also been friends with Corbett now for 20. And me and Corbett did little projects and stuff like that over the years. And before You know, the Hammers, we did a project called the Three Angry Inches. I always smile and laugh whenever I say that. which is a cool rock band with another buddy of our guitar player. Anyway, so we always had that connection, and we were driving one day to a gig, and Corbett gets a email from Mitch saying, hey, do you know of any bass players in Alberta want to do a show with this, you know, this young guy who used to play hockey, you know, in BC. So we said, Corbett asked me, and I said, yeah, sure, why not? You know, so I think we played, was it Billy Bob's? I think it was Mitch up in yeah. Edmonton.
Yep.
And so we did the show, and you know, this is actually, there's lots of this story. I don't think I should mention my vasectomy, but it does play a part in it.
Oh, you've opened the door. Please, by all means, walk through.
Okay, I got to finish here now. So anyway, I'm doing this gig, you know, and new artist, kind of, you know, Mitch is breaking this new artist. And we have this handler, she's taking care of us. She takes us to the green room, and we had a few drinks, and you know, we were all getting along pretty good. It was like, you know, me and Merritt would start the madness that still ensues today. Anyway, so a food fight broke out after the assistant to us threw a grape and struck my tender spots, because I just had a vasectomy. So then a food fight ensued. We trashed that green room, trashed it. And you know, when I'm driving home the next day, we're driving, and I'm with Corbett, and I'm like, I look at Corbett, I'm like, Corbett, there's no way, man, we're going to get called back for that gig. We just fucking trashed, you know, green room. And Corbett looked at me, and he's like, I know Mitch. He's going to call us back. And then that was it. And then all of a sudden, we found ourselves in the back of a bus many times. And it's funny you mention that, Mitch. I think the first time we mentioned about, like, getting together and writing, I think was on the Dierks Bentley tour in the back of the bus. And that was a long time ago. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're like, wouldn't it be cool for us to do like a, you know, like a riff rock band kind of thing, you know? We were talking about that then, you know?
Yeah, we were kind of a band even years before the whole formal Black Mountain thing kind of happened. And there's times at soundcheck where we would like, you know, soundcheck like Deep Purple songs and Ted Nugent songs.
Yeah.
Sometimes a promoter would be like, who the hell did I hire? Because that band doesn't really represent the artists that we hired. But we had a lot of fun. Like I said, like Greg said, you know, we'd all kind of take a bullet for us. You know, it's not always fucking peaches and cream with everybody, but it's certainly respect each other musically.
Well, and things seem to be going well. You've somehow become the face of the Country Rocks Spotify playlist. How'd you manage that? Yeah. Is that just because you are all so damn handsome that they just thought that's the one?
Most likely.
Bingo.
Most
likely. Bingo. Now I'm curious here.
Followers.
I'm looking at some of these kind of stats and accolades that go along with you guys, and like huge in Australia. Like why Australia? Why is that where things seem to be really taken off?
That's the beauty of the streaming is like you get it out to the world, and different areas of the world, people dig on it, you know. It's very interesting. It's exciting. Like I kind of love the artist development side of things, because it's all new. You put so much time and effort into a project, and you believe in it, and you know that it's got some legs, and then you put it out there, and yeah, you're kind of shitting your pants a little bit with whether it's going to work, and then when it starts working, it's like, cool, you know, I was right, you know, I was confident in these decisions that we made as a band, to kind of stick to your guns and just do what you do. And again, you know, good music of all genres finds a home. You know, it's so many cool, there's so many cool indie bands and new bands that you can discover through these platforms. It's I don't know, I think it's just super cool. Like, I love all music, love pop music, you know, rock music. I'm in a huge 70s phase right now, but I also love, you know, some of the young pop artists that are coming out. You know, good music is good music. And it sucks that sometimes you've got to label it. Like, I get it, but, you know, it's kind of like when kids used to go into the record stores and they buy records because the cover was cool.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you guys make the connect between songwriting, recording, and playing live? Is one a means for another? Does it sort of start with the idea that let's get on stage to spur us writing some more new music, or are you writing music as a means to be able to get out and play?
That's a great question.
Greg, that is a great question. About that one?
Yeah.
Well, like, I was kind of hoping you would, but
I can go actually, but what's your opinion? I want to hear what you think on that. That's a great question.
It is a great question. Actually, I'm going to go back to Stillhouse here. When we recorded Stillhouse in the studio, it was a different beast then than it is now. Like, when we play it live, it's you know what I mean? It metamorphosizes, I should say. Like, and that's what happens. I find with those songs, and we're not changing them. Like, they are what they are, but they just develop and grow as the band is growing. And I find that happens live. You know, like, we come up with little things, little licks and stuff like that. All of a sudden it just fits in that, you know what I mean? That we didn't do those little subtle things before, but now that, you know, we're chewing on these here songs and we're playing them live, you know, blood, sweat and tears live kind of deal. They develop.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I find. Like, you know, Wolves live. I would love to watch us live playing Wolves. Right. You know what I mean? For example, it's just a little bit more. When we play live, it is a different beast, because in the studio, you know, you got to play everything perfect, you know, kind of deal. Live, you got to do the same. You got to play. You got to make mistakes and stuff like that. But you also have to entertain. In the studio, you're not worried about entertaining. You're just looking to you know, write, record. On stage, you know, you entertain. You play the hell out of these tunes, and then they develop and metamorphosize into something, you know, a bigger monster kind of deal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's kind of two parts for me with that. Just expanding on what Greg said, you know, like, going into the studio is expensive, and we're all kind of, you know, quote unquote studio players. We do play on other people's stuff. So when you're in the studio, it's not like you got, you know, a day to do a song or you know, a week to do a song. You know, it's expensive to be in there. So we're all really good players, but sometimes you only go through the song three or four times. It's like, hey, that sounds great. Where what we want to do on the new album, it's like, no, let's spend a day or two on a song and really hone it in and keep trying different things. Because that's interesting. You know, there's something very cool about being in the studio. Sometimes things happen very quickly and it's like, wow, that went somewhere awesome that I didn't think it would. And sometimes it's like, hey, maybe we need to spend a little more time on this because it's not giving us the goosebumps kind of thing. And then I think to add to your question even more about, you know, what feeds what? Does the studio feed the live? Does the live feed the studio? And that's the fucking beauty of being an artist, because you can be in studio mode and be excited about that, and then understand that, hey, this song is going to go live really, really well, and you're excited for that. And then, you know, after you've toured a record for two or three years, it's like, okay, I'm ready to get back in the studio. But yeah, they totally feed off of each other, absolutely, in lots of different ways. So that's a great question.
Yes.
So guys, we're coming up to the end of the time that we asked you for here. So I want to know, you know, presuming this pandemic thing lifts on us soon, you're talking about getting up to this cabin. You're talking about doing some work together. So when can the fans at home expect to see the latest and greatest from Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion?
That's a loaded question.
I know. It's self-serving too, because I want to know. So it helps.
Well, realistically, probably the end of the year, maybe the new year. Just kind of depends when everything kind of opens up again. But you know, as soon as things do open up, we're gonna be getting in there. You know, we got a deposit on the studio, and we probably ain't gonna get it back.
hopefully
use it before that's right. You use it. Nice.
Yeah.
So I would say that the follow-up question to that is, can Miles and I get an invitation to the cabin? Because it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it might have to happen. The new album is sponsored by the Sound of Music Festival.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. All right.
That was a fun gig. That was kind of our first gig to launch, last summer. So, what a lineup to play with. I mean, fucking Monster Truck. Come on, Jesus Christ, that is awesome.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun, and we loved having you guys. We do hope to see you again. So don't worry, we're going to put those wheels in motion because, not blowing smoke at all, but you guys actually have been one of our top requested of the year. When we asked the question, who do you want to come back?
Wow.
Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion has come up quite a few times. So I know we'd love to have you back. We love the work you're doing. I follow you guys online. I love the work you're doing on your socials. It's fun. And the things that you're doing, I loved watching you guys on your social media platforms during the CCMAs, taking a few friendly jabs at Washboard Union and other award nominees and winners. And congratulations on your nominations, for a band in its infancy. That is pretty impressive. And just keep doing what you're doing, guys. And thank you again for your time. We sure do appreciate it. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks, Miles. Thanks, Bram.
All right, we'll let you get back to your lives. This has been Mitch Merritt and Greg Carroll of Black Mountain Whiskey Rebellion. Thank you again, guys. Stay safe out there, and we will talk to you again real soon. All right, well, that was good. It was nice to talk to those guys, eh?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, as you know, we had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with them the day before they played the festival in 2019. Interesting characters, quite a motley crew of folks that have come together to form that band. But the one thing that stuck out, and it came out in our conversation, they really do think of each other as best friends, as family. They genuinely love and care about each other, and it just seems like they have a blast every time together.
That chat about that, I need to figure out where this cabin is that they're, because I want to be there badly. They're talking about the adult beverages and the recording and pumping out some new tunes and up in the woods. Everything about that just sounds like exactly where I want to be.
Well, we did drop a subtle little how do we get an invite to said cabin. Yeah. So
we'll have to follow
up on that one for sure.
But a huge thanks to Mitch and Greg and Corbett and Eric who couldn't join us today. Hopefully they're all doing well, and as things ease back into normal, those guys will be back on the road. I know we'd love to have them back at the festival again. They are actually one of the most requested. Everyone wants them to come back, and I think we do too. So,
I'm not surprised. I had the chance to spend a couple of minutes standing side stage in the wings there as they were playing their set last year, and man, that stage was shaking, and the afternoon sun crowd was rocking to those guys.
Absolutely. All right, well, that is all the time that we have for this SOM session. Now, stay tuned, because as a part of SOM at Home, we have some amazing artists lined up. Next week's show, we will have the lovely, talented, beautiful Kelsey Main on our show. I think we got a new theme going on here, because we're doing two, back-to-back country. So, Black Mountain, they're like dirty country. So, I don't know. But I'm excited to have Kelsey on the show, nonetheless.
Yeah, I like it. No, it'll be fun to talk to her. And again, she was on stage at the festival last year as well. So people who know what we're doing, people who love bringing their music to the Burlington community, and it'll be fun to chat with her too.
Absolutely. And one last plug for a future show we've got coming up is we're going to be interviewing an agent. So if you have questions about the industry and you want to know more about, agents, managers, that whole side of it, shoot us an email at somsession@soundofmusic.ca and let us know your questions, and we will throw it at them and hopefully get you some answers. So somsession at soundofmusic.ca. Thank you all so much for listening. On behalf of myself and over there on the phone,
hey, it's Brent here. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure you subscribe, follow us, do whatever you do on your end. We'll keep doing what we do on our end. Take care and stay safe.